Blog Talk Radio.
I was glad when they said, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." In the house of the Lord, there is comfort. In the house of the Lord, we can worship. In the house of the Lord, you can find answers. In the house of the Lord, you can find peace. There is joy in the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Our scripture tonight is coming from the book of James. The book of James. I give you an opportunity to go get your sword. That's the Spirit of God's Word. Amen? The Spirit, God's Spirit, the Spirit of God's Word is our sword. As we fight here, we cover our minds and our bodies. We do it with the Spirit of God's Word. This is your host, Minister Von Dumas, coming to you live in San Antonio, Texas. And I encourage you to just relax and let's see what the Lord has for us tonight in our teaching and our learning. Again, we're starting with our scripture, the book of James, starting at verse 12, reading through 18. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me," for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desires, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceded, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my sisters and brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly light, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chooses to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruit of all he created. Thank you, Jesus, for your word, the readers, the doers of your word. Hallelujah. Not just to hear the word, but to be a doer of the word. My sisters and brothers, did you hear the Lord as he spoke and said, when we're tempted, do not say that God is tempting me to do this. He keeps bringing that lady up here in the front row, and I'm in the pool, said he's tempting me. He says, don't say that God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil. That would be evil. God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he want to tempt anyone. You see, God is our friend. You see, God is on our side. You see, God is our creator. And God has no desire to tempt us or lead us astray. For he tells us he wants none to perish. He has gone before us to prepare a place for you and I. That where he is, that you one day may be there also. He loves you. He wants the best for you. He's not trying to set a trap for you, lead you into this secret temptation. Then that is not his desire. So when you have that, remember to be able to tell the difference. Not tempt you. That is the enemy. Amen? He wants none to be tempted. But each one of us, as we are tempted, what it is that brings us to that temptation then, if it's not God that is tempting us, the word explains it to us. We just have to take time to just look at our thoughts and go through the word. Find our answers that we're seeking for. Stop blaming God for all your things that you're going wrong in your life. We're going to speak about some trials and tribulations that you have to endure on this journey. But before it's been tempting, what tempts you? It said by each one of our own evil desires. Remember, we're born into sin. Even that little baby is born into a sinful, fallen world. But each one is tempted when? By his own evil desire. He is dragged away and enticed. See, that's why I preach so much about loneliness, isolating yourself. The enemy wants to isolate you so he can entice you. He wants to drag your thoughts away from godly thoughts so he can entice you with the evil, malignant thoughts. He wants to drag you away from, you know, the word that you've heard in your heart that it's time for you to move. It's time for new seasons in your life. It's for you to trust him. He wants to drive you away to isolation, to tell you, oh, just, you know, you just need some time just to pray about it. And all that time that you stay and you're telling everybody, I'm just going to pray this thing through, you're isolated. So what you do instead of praying is you get to thinking and you allow your mind to become idle. And once an idle mind, the devil starts to work inside of you. He starts to get in every corner of your thoughts, every corner of the visual. Everything you see now seems to be adding up to what he wants it to be. Amen? He wants to drag you away and entice you with evilness, entice you with temptation of wrongdoing. Amen? Now, taking a little bit farther, we look at 15. Verse 15 tells us then after the desire has been planted in your heart, after he has dragged you away from family members, after he has dragged you away from the church, after he has dragged you into that corner that now has you trapped with just you and his thoughts, what you know was really right, what you heard from the Lord, you felt it in your spirit, now he's convinced you that, how would you ever trust God to take care of you then? How would you ever trust God then to give you another place to live? Look at you right now. At least you have a dwelling place. At least you know where home is at. At least you've got someone in here. How would God ever take care of you if you had to go live with somebody else? How would God ever take care of you if you had to start over on your job? How would God ever take care of you to even get you from one destination to the next destination? And he starts to play all this stuff in your head. And the enemy starts to say, why are you telling the church about this? Why are you asking for prayer? They can't help you. They got their own problems. They don't want to hear about your problems. Don't take it to the altar anymore. I'm here for you. Can you hear that little demonishing spirit right now that's been speaking to you? Can you look back and know that you know that you know that you heard the word of God? And he told you to move. He told you to get out of the way of that village. But you decided to stay there a little bit longer. Oh, it's not as bad as I thought. Oh, you know, I was just exaggerating. You know, I was just emotional. God is speaking to you. God is speaking to you. So the word of God says again, it says after you have been dragged away, after you have been enticed to do the wrong thing, then after the desire has been conceived in your heart, you say, well, I've conceived now. It's in my heart. Then that deceitfulness, it gives birth to sin. Come on now. It gives birth to sin. It's not fair. You say it's not hurting anyone for me to think these thoughts. But you see, that thought is just not going to stay a thought. That thought is going to grow. And one day you're going to give birth to something. So now you're going to birth out sin. And then that sin, as it continues to grow, it starts to feel good to man, right? It starts to feel good to flesh. You start to hang around those who believe in your sin. You start to identify with those that you used to look down and say, whoa, how did they get to that position? Now you start to sit down there with them and wallow in sin. Now you start to understand that you're not the only one. And so you say, well, I hide behind that. I'm not the only one committing adultery. I'm not the only preacher in the pulpit. But on the outside, I'm drunk Monday through Saturday. I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one who's cheating on this or that. I'm not the only one who's lying to my coworkers. I'm not the only one. The time that thought has grown and given birth to sin. And when that sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. The wages of your sins, my sisters and brothers, is death. Look around you. So you see someone from start to finish. And you can start to see a little difference in their lives. And as you continue to look, and you see, it's obvious now what's going on in their lives. Until that thing just goes full blown and it comes out to death. And you say, what happened? How did that happen? It all started with a thought. The Bible tells us to not be deceived by our thinking. This is the George Myers would say, I'm thinking. Because that our thoughts can get so corrupt that it's just an aroma just surrounds you. You can pass by that person and you just feel the evilness. You feel the corruptness. So verse 16 says, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Don't be deceived. Every good and every perfect gift is given from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly light, who does not change like shifting shadows. You know, people are so caught up into all kinds of different shifters and vampires and different things, and one day is this and one day is that, and you're tossing and turning and you don't know which way this does not change. In a world where you can have child pornography on any corner, we need a God who does not change. In a fallen world where we are now trying to determine if we need to take in the name of God, in God we trust, all of our currency, we need a God that does not change. Amen? You need a God that does not change. Regardless of who's in the office, God does not change. Regardless if you're on the battlefield over in Afghanistan or in the battlefield in your home, God does not change. God is in control. God is in control. So he asks us not to be deceived. Don't forget, the enemy will take credit for anything. I'm the one who gave you this beautiful woman. I'm the one who set you in high and gated this position. So you can't lie to me. You can't do this for me. Remember, every good and perfect thing comes from above. He chooses to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruit of all his created. So we may be an example, is what he's saying. First fruit, the best of the best. So that's what we may be through his word. So he chooses to give us birth. He wants us to birth the word. Not birth sin, but to birth his word. Put it in our hearts, that our mouth speaketh of what in our hearts, that our desires match his desires, that we give birth to the word, to the truth, to righteousness, because we follow righteousness. We follow the truth. We serve righteousness. We serve the truth. That's what God is, the truth, right? He is our righteousness. And that that we serve, that that we follow, that that we worship, that that we praise is what we live on a daily basis. We live these things. That's where he's trying to get us to go. As we go, we begin to grow in some amazing ways that makes us understand the control that God has over this world, regardless of how many things you see negative on the TV or computer. God is still in control, ladies and gentlemen. And that is something to shout about. that there's nothing that nobody can say or do that would make him change his mind. God is still in control. Hallelujah. He's the God that can heal you. He's the God that separates you from all the other foolishness that's going on. He's the God of peace. He's the God of joy. The God of happiness. God is still in control. Amen? God is still in control. A God that's in control. You know, 100% of the time, I don't care if you're on the battlefield, in your home, if you're in your church, or in your job, whatever is going on, 100% of the time, you can go to the Lord. You can call out the name of the Lord, and he's there. 100% of the time, he will hear your cry. 100% of the time, he's there for you. Amen? That's good to know. That's good to know that wherever you go, he's there. Up, coming, down, setting, wherever you go, he is there. 100% of the time. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. I thank you, Father, for that. You know, the fact is that however we look at things, we cannot pretend that bad things don't happen. Bad things do happen. Amen? And, you know, God in all of his power, it is within his power to give everything a perfect existence. But he knows what's best for us. And he knows that that wouldn't be in our best interest if we didn't have any trials or tribulations, if we didn't have any suffering. See, our trials and suffering oftentimes drive people to the Father. And for those of us who are already his followers, our trials and our suffering, God can use those harsh circumstances to mature our faith and to conform us to the image of his Son. So we start to grow closer. We get more stronger, more maturity. He uses that to give us our maturity as we mature in him and grow in him. We become more conformed to the image of his Son as we go through the refinery fires. He burns off all of the chafing and all of the lying and backbiting. He has to burn all of that off. Go through the refinery. So as you go through your trials, tribulations, just remember, God, what are you trying to get me to see? Hallelujah. God, I know I'm in the refinery because you have something special for me. I want to trust in you. So here I grow again. Here I grow again, growing and learning your trust, how to trust you. Here I grow again. As I learn how to forgive my sisters and my brothers. Here I grow again as I learn how to forgive myself. Hallelujah. If I can forgive myself, I can be a better example for my children. If I can forgive myself, I can be a better spouse. I can be a better leader out in the world. If I can forgive myself, I can forgive others that sin against me. To be made perfect and pleasing to our Father is indeed beneficial. You know, in his omniscience and his wisdom, God will always allow disaster and evil to touch our lives. It will not ever destroy our lives or overtake us. He said, I'll be there. It will not overtake you, even though your flesh may be trying to tell you it feels like it is. That it will not overtake you. It will not destroy you. But he will use those things in our lives so that we can grow from that experience. You know, growth. Again, whether it's, you may need a little growth in your compassion. You say, I don't have compassion for my sisters and brothers. Growth. Or your trust. Your trust in believing that if God speaks us, you better move it and believe it. Trust. and they grow. Maybe we need to just grow in the knowledge of the word. You know, the word is here, and maybe just, I just need the knowledge of the word. I need more understanding. I need God to reveal some things to me. All of these things are good. And if we just peek behind the scenes of our lives, you know, we see that we think that God is not listening. He's not hearing our cries. He's not doing anything. Where are you, Father? Where are you? Where are you? Mary and Martha said, if you had just been here, oh, our brother would not have died. Someone's crying those words right now. Where are you? But if we could just peek behind the scenes of our lives, oh, we would see the Lord's sovereignty working on your behalf, working towards his ultimate purpose for us. See, behind, we have to believe that he is the author and the finisher of our lives. And we have to believe that what he said he would do, he is doing. We have to trust in him. We have, and to do that, we have to be at a certain level of maturity in him. So as you go through the refinery's fire, remember, can we grow again? Can we grow again? Because God is still in control. He's working towards the ultimate purpose that he has for us. You know, Romans 8:28, we say it all the time. But let's look at it again. Let's see if we get a deeper belief in what we're speaking about. Romans 8:28 affirms that as we know, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Amen? For those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. Let's speak about that for a second. But first, let me remind you, this is your host, Minister Yvonne Dillon, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas. And you can receive different biblical literature from me just by sending an email to walkwithmegod@aol.com. You can be put on the prayer wall where myself and different ministers around the country pray for you 3 times a day. Put your name on the prayer wall, again, by sending an email to walkwithmegod@aol.com. Did you know that you can go into the blog show archive for Minister Von Dillon? Did you know that you can archive and listen back to any of the recordings all the way back from the 2008? Did you know you can go in there and download those? I invite you to go in the archives. And also, when you go in, rate the show. We'd love hearing from you. Amen? Amen. Let's get back to the show, shall we? So we're speaking again about Romans 8:28 and how it affirms that as we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called accordingly to his purpose. You know, on occasion, we see immediate positive results from our trials, right? You go through a little something, and you'll see the results of, okay, that's why that was going on, you know? Yeah, it happened immediately. It doesn't take a long time, and we're okay with most of those signs. But then there are other times that we must wait months or years. Sometimes we won't find out until we reach God by himself of why we had to go through different things. Why did it turn out like this? Why did my marriage fail? And why did my child end up in the grave? Why did this happen? Why? Sometimes it's years, sometimes it's months, and sometimes it's never on this side that we find out those answers. We don't get to that fully understanding of what God was doing in those difficult situations. Those circumstances just seem to just be there for us, right? And we don't understand. You know, suffering and evil are an inevitable part of a fallen world. We live in a fallen world, sisters and brothers. It's just a part of us that we can't get away from. It's going to be suffering in this world. There's evil doing in this world. And the closer we get to going home, it is more evil doing now than evermore, correct? And it's getting worse. It's going to be worse. You better plant your feet in a solid foundation. That's the word of God. Because you're going to need something to hold on to. You're going to need something to hold on to. Make sure that your anchor holds and that it grips onto the solid. That solid rock is God's word. I love that song. Be sure. Be very, very, very sure. Your anchor holds and grips solid rock. And don't get deceived. This rock is Jesus. I know in the world it's flashing lights, and it tells you that the rock comes from drugs, and the rock is promiscuity, and the rock is having this big job, and the rock is whoever has the most toys, and that's what's going to keep you and the anchor can hold on to. But this rock is Jesus. He's the only one. Be sure. Be very, very, very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid. Wow. You know, it's not for the man who can have the most women or go down in history and spend with the most women. And we have different people who are in the grave now that was very proud to say, I've been with 1,000 da-da-da-da-da women. But that rock didn't hold. They didn't keep their body strong. They're locked in a hole. They still are alone right now. Someone can say that I've achieved the highest of the highest. My name is listed as one of the most prestigious people alive. Someone said I achieved in my athletic awards to the highest amount. But will it hold? Will it hold? You know, some of those people who've won most of the highest things, like Muhammad Ali. It was once said that someone went into his home and was doing something, and they found a lot of his honors and medals, and we would just be like, in awe of. They found them dusty and thrown over to the side and all in a room, just kind of crammed in there. You got to find something else. Those things accolades are good for a moment. How many toys do you get? And the more you get, you enjoy for a minute, and before you know it, it's just like, what else is there to offer? What else is there to offer? This rock is Jesus. Yes, he is the one. This rock is Jesus. The only one, be sure, be very, very, very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. See, when that doctor comes to know with bad news, it's got to grip onto something. You got to have something off in your heart right then.
You got to have the belief. You got to have God's word already there.
If not, you sway to the left and you start looking at suicide. You sway to the right and you have been living healthy, didn't know anything was wrong inside of you. But you sway to the right and those words will penetrate you so much that you'll be dead a week or not. But you didn't have anything to hold on to. So you held on to those negative words. And that'll kill you. That'll bring you down. You didn't have anything to hold on to. So when you found out that your spouse was cheating, it'll bring you down. It'll lead you into deception that you can't grow on. There's nothing left to do. Why? It must be me. Why can't I be good enough for anybody? Why would they do this to me? Why? Could be that God is just trying to use that circumstance to get your attention, to bring you back around, to remind you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then that marriage that you're so in need of, that you just want that perfect marriage and that picket white fence, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen? You know, suffering and evil, they're just a part of what we're going to go through. But we have assurance that God is in control of the universe. It's including this tiny corner of the universe that you and I occupy. He's in control of the entire universe. 98% of us are never see the entire universe. But you know what? He's in control of it all. So that little bitty problem that you have, give it to your big God, the God that's in control of the universe. Your little bitty problem is not affecting the whole universe. It's just occupying right there in your area. Turn it over to God. He's in control. If he can control the universe, he can control that sickness in your body. He can remove that oxygen from you right now. God, just breathe on me again. Give me life again. I need your oxygen. I need your breath. Breathe on me again. Tell that oxygen every night about how big your God is. He's going to do it for you. Just believe it. As you grow through this here time that you're going through with that oxygen, well, whatever your situation is, on dialysis, whatever you're going through, just believe. It's only for a little while. It's only for a little while. Amen? When he permits bad things to happen, we can be sure that he will continue to provide comfort. He will continue to provide guidance as he shapes us into the people he wants us to be. Get your eye off of your problems and go find somebody to pray for. Go find somebody that you need to be doing something for. Forget about how you feel. You may not feel like you're nothing going doing. You say, I can't even leave my home. I'm bedridden right now. Get out of that room, pick up the phone, and start praying for somebody. Hallelujah. There's too many people in need just to hear your voice and hear your testimony. They're in a mess right now. They need to know how God brought you out of that and gave your message. Your message could save somebody's life today. If you hear God calling you to be a prayer warrior, intercede for someone, or pray for some of the ones that are on the prayer wall, please contact me. Let me give you some instructions and get you started on a way that's going to be getting your mind off of you and onto somebody else. Amen? Walk with me, God, at AOL.com. Walk with me, God. God wants you to be your best. Amen. Do you have a prayer request? Do you have a praise report? I invite you to join me each Sunday night from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. It's In Power Ministries. You can dial in at 712-432-0460. The access code is 360777#. Again, 712-432-0460, 360777#. That's every Sunday night from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. on the Empower International Ministry. I am the host of that hour. And then, of course, always join me here at the Blog Talk. And I'm always here, and you can leave me information here, or I beg you to please, I'd love to hear, get your emails from you at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Again, walkwithmegod@aol.com. Amen. Well, we've come to the end of another broadcast. I know time passes fast when you're having fun. Well, I thank you for just being a part of the ministry. Take with you this word. Keep your sword with you. Take it throughout your week. Amen? Let's go. I don't want anyone to leave here without rededicating their life or finding Jesus in your life and inviting him to come and be a part of that. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I invite you to just repeat after me. Lord, I am a sinner. I believe that you gave your only son, Jesus Christ, that he died for me in exchange for my sin. I accept all that your blood has shed for me on the cross. I thank you for loving me enough to die for me. I invite you to come and live inside of me and be my director, be my savior, be my comforter. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just pray this prayer, you are a new creature in Christ. I invite you to get in touch with us. I can send out any biblical literature. We can find a church home that's in your area, regardless of what city or state that you're in. It's important to get into a Bible-teaching church. Well, this is your host, Minister Von Dillman. Remember that I love you here at Tri-Anointed Ministries, but Jesus loves you more. Until the next broadcast. Don't forget to rate the show. Bye-bye.